Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and with me tonight are Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. Tom Gould unfortunately had a prior commitment, but he will be joining us for our regular gathering next month. And our topic tonight is end-of-life experiences. And if you have a question or a comment or a story to share with us tonight, the number here is 888-627-6008. And I want to remind you that tonight's show is sponsored by the Comlock Center, and they can be found on the web at comlock.com. And Fran, before we get rolling, how about getting, we have a lot going on.
Whole run through of announcements. The most important thing we want our listeners to remember is they should check the events page on our website regularly. That's foreverfamilyfoundation.org. for all the latest events and happenings. Sometimes we put things up at a moment's notice, so you may miss hearing it on the radio show, so it's always good to check in on the website. And we have one free event ready for October, and that's on October 12th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific, and anything in between that and around that. Our Visionary Explorers group meets online. Our next webinar is scheduled for October 23rd at 9 p.m. Afterlife Research as a Personal Resource will be presented by Dr. Julie Beischel and Mark Bacuzzi, and will include a question and answer period at the end of the presentation. We have a limited number of free member-only seats using the code JULIE2019. And for our non-member listeners, we have half price seats using the code MARK, M-A-R-K, 2019. Our annual winter grief retreat, Love Knows No Death, is open for enrollment. This great and meaningful weekend is organized to optimize the experiences of the attendees who will work in small groups with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Angelina Diana, Doreen Malloy, and Renata Santarelli. And they will work along with Dr. Piero Calvi-Parasetti, and an additional caring staff of facilitators who will be assisting in transforming the grief of our attendees. This special weekend is scheduled for January 10th through 12th, 2020, where you will learn that the mystery of death is not a mystery at all, but a doorway to another chapter of continuing life. And for our listeners tonight, you can save $50 per person using code THEGATHERING. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2019 is also up and running on our website. One chance is only $5, and you could be one of five winners of medium readings with certified mediums Janet Nohavik, Joanne Gerber, Dustin Livers, Angelina Diana, and Bobby Allison. Surely you would love to help our work continue by buying a simple $5 raffle ticket and having a chance to win. And if you are planning to be in New York for the holidays, reserve your seats now for Holidays Past Smithtown, an evening of spirit communication with Joe Peretta and Gina Simone, and that's on December 14th. And please help keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all of the traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And don't forget to follow us on our YouTube channel for great stories and videos at youtube.com/afterlifeeducation. Back to you, but.
And thank you for that. We're talking tonight about end-of-life experiences, and we did a survey, and we're going to read some of your responses. And by all means, if you want to share an end-of-life experience, you can call us at 888-627-6008. But I was thinking about this today. When we talk about end-of-life experiences, I know what we're talking about, and I'm sure Fran and Melissa do, and we're talking about such things as deathbed visions and dreams and terminal lucidity, and so we're going to get into that. But I was thinking, if you walked into the supermarket and you started asking strangers what they think an end-of-life experience is, what are some of the things that you think that you would hear?
I think, Bob, that people might, they might misunderstand that question and just think things they'd like to accomplish before they end their lives. I think they'd be so unaccustomed to ever even contemplating that.
Yeah, well, and I think that what we would get is a lot of typical health-related things that people notice, like, you know, the breathing becoming irregular. To them, that's an end-of-life experience, or certain groaning, you know, or they might talk about hallucinations, you know, but not in the context that we're talking about.
Oh, see, I was kind of thinking like Melissa was, that they would totally misinterpret the way you were going with it and the concept, and they'd be, because we live in a culture that pushes the concept of death aside. So they're not thinking of the dying part when you're talking about experiences, they're talking about their living part of a dying experience. So I'm gonna go with Melissa on that one.
Okay, you're certainly welcome to. And you know, before we get into the survey, I mentioned two terms. I mean, deathbed visions, where people that are near death, near physical death, it could be an hour before or it could be a week or two before, report seeing deceased loved ones. Most of the time it's a loved one who it's very clear to them that their loved ones are in the room. Most often, the people that are in the room with the dying person cannot see the same thing, although sometimes they can. And these visits are extremely meaningful to the dying person. And one other phenomenon we're talking about is, there are different terms, terminal lucidity. I've heard it called sudden awakening. And there's no medical explanation for it, but if you talk to lot of hospice workers, in addition to the deathbed visions, they'll tell you that sometimes people that are physically and or mentally incapacitated, you know, and very close to death, suddenly, it seems miraculously, have an experience where they're lucid, and it's like nothing ever happened, and they're back to the way that they were. And to the loved ones, witnessing this, I mean, you think it's like a miracle. How is this possible? And yet it happens on a fairly regular basis. So, you know, there may be if there's no medical explanation, there very well may be a spiritual, you know, explanation to that. You know, in this survey that we took, we started off the survey by asking a simple question: have you ever sat with a person who was close to the end of their physical life? We're not talking about any spiritual connotation here. We're just asking, have you been with somebody? And quite a number of people, 83.4% of all the respondents said yes, they have been with somebody that was close to dying. So then the next question is, you know, was the dying person observed to be communicating with someone in the room who was not visible to others? There, I was a bit surprised. More people said yes than no. You know, we think that these deathbed, you know, visits and visions and were somewhat in the minority, but here a greater percentage, like actually 6% of the respondents more said yes than no. I find that a little interesting.
That's very interesting.
It shows you how prevalent, you know, these things are. And then, of course, we're asking them if they answered yes, what type of communication took place? And we had a checklist, and the choices were visual, where the dying person saw a deceased entity, auditory, the dying person heard a deceased entity, tactile, the dying person was touched by a deceased entity, physical phenomena observed, movement of objects in the room, and then shared experiences where the physical loved ones in the room sitting with the dying person also saw the same thing that the dying person saw. So the overwhelming majority, 88.6%, said visual, that the dying person saw a deceased entity. 15% said auditory, where the dying person didn't necessarily see the deceased person, but heard a deceased entity. 4% said tactile, that the dying person was actually touched by the spirit entity. And then 1% said they observed physical phenomena. And 5% did say that they experienced shared experiences, so that, you know, they saw and experienced the same thing that the dying person was. So we're going to probe into this a lot more. We're going to go to a quick break, and we come back. If you feel like sharing any experience, give us a call and stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Tonight we're talking about end-of-life experiences. Before we continue, with the survey and discussion, let me give you a personal example of what a deathbed vision is. I thought it was pretty interesting. When my mom was getting ready to cross over, she was sitting in a recliner chair, and the family was sort of sitting in a U shape around her, except one chair in the center of the room was empty. And Fran and I, of course, being involved in this kind of work, we were paying attention to everything. And then all of a sudden, my mother called out to her mom, who has been deceased many, many years, and was staring intently at this empty chair. And we knew right away that chair was occupied, by her mom. And then my father walked into the room from the other room, and he saw the empty chair. And so he sat down in the empty chair, and as sick as my mom was, she freaked out. You're like, get up, because my father had sat on his mother-in-law unknowingly, of course. My father, he gets up, he's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Where should I sit? And she points. So that was a kind of a classic example of she was communicating with her mom. And the other thing we were talking about was terminal lucidity. Fran can tell you about her mom when she was in a rehabilitation center. You want to tell that?
Which one? There were so many stories.
Well, we were alternating going there, and then one day it was my turn.
Oh, yeah, that was it. And we had been taking turns visiting every day. So I would go one day, Bob would go another day, and on the day that he was to go, I got a frantic telephone call from him saying, you are not going to believe this. I walked in here and she, instead of, laying in bed, moaning and groaning and really looking like she's ready to cross over, she's in the rec room and she's sitting in a chair and she's reading the newspaper. And I walked in and she starts telling me all the things that I need to do for her when I leave here today. Get this ready, do my taxes, blah, 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 blah. And he called me up and it's just, you just can't believe what's going on. So this was our first real experience with this. Any other person who's not aware of these end of life experiences would think that suddenly the person is now well, because that's exactly how it seems. That everything is now, that the horror show is over and now the person is whole again. But unfortunately, it wasn't that way. And the following day when I had visited, it was back to square one. It was back to where we had left her before that one experience. But it's quite an experience to witness.
And this, like we said before, the doctors can't explain it. How does somebody suddenly slip into perfect lucidness, when they're physically and mentally impaired, it makes no sense. So, and these deathbed visions too, while they are communicating with deceased loved ones, and many of the patients are not under the influence of any medications, you know, or drugs, they also have tremendous clarity, and they're positive, and you know, in what they see. You know, it seems to indicate that these visits are have a purpose, as opposed to some random occurrence. I mean, are we in agreement on that?
I always thought it was some sort of a built-in spiritual purpose to it, whether it's to give the person that last moment of clarity, to communicate any kind of love in the physical realm before crossing over. Because we know, even though they can't communicate from the other side, our tendency is to, you know, disclaim these communications we get from them. So to be able to communicate with them when they're aware of what they're doing and they're saying one last time before they cross over, I think is a gift not only to them, but to the people that they're leaving behind.
Yeah.
You agree, Melissa?
I do. I mean, it reminds me of when Tom's mom, we knew she was going to soon cross over, and I think it was probably a Sunday because football was on and our son wanted to come and watch the game with her and his dad and myself. And we almost, well, we kind of urged him not to come because grandma wasn't looking so great and wasn't very communicative. But he insisted he wanted to come and spend the afternoon there and be with her again. He knew there wouldn't be many more opportunities, if any. And she definitely rallied. She just suddenly became more communicative. I don't know if much more lively, but she had words she wanted to say. She wanted to let Zane know. She said, please tell Julie, which is the girl he was dating, please tell Julie how fond I am of her, how much I like her. And, you know, she had, you would remember this more, Bob, than I. Who was the football player at the time with the Jets? Mark Sanchez?
Quarterback. Yeah.
He was new to the team, and she said, "And please tell Mark Sanchez how much I like him." and actually, somehow through some online source, Zane was actually able to get that message to him. that's what his grandmother's final words were.
That also may have something to do with pleasing her son, who was a Jet fan.
and that shows some awareness too. But you know, it's odd for me to be having this conversation tonight because my mom, who's 96 years old, and you know, when you're 96, you don't really know when what the next step is going to be, had a remarkably active day yesterday. Her personality-wise and demeanor, everything, was very upbeat and a little more so than it's been in a while. And so much so that I had to reach out to my sister and go, wow, you know, today was such a different kind of day with Mom. And, of course, knowing we were going to have this topic tonight, I was kind of viewing it like that. Now, she's been completely lucid and conversational, but lots and lots of moans and groans and aches and pains and slow to move. But yesterday was just this different sort of day. Now, today was probably the worst day she's had. So why the switch from one day to the next? And again, thinking of this topic, I had to look at some of the signs one should look for that might indicate that death is near. And I'm seeing, I'm looking at it on the other computer screen. There are at least six or seven items there that I could probably check off the list. So I'm, you know, this is my mom I'm talking about, but because of my beliefs, I'm really excited for her for the next stage, for the wonderful adventure she's going to have. And so I can almost study this more without sorrow at this point, but more as a really interesting examination of what exactly is going to happen.
Right. And then it's good knowing this, because if you see a loved one and suddenly it's typical where a dying person will reach out, you know, with their arms, you know, okay. or reach up, you know, and stare, and it's dismissed, but it's meaningful and it's sort of sacred. And you understand that when a lot of, you know, people would not. Just to go back to the survey, we asked if the dying person seemed comforted by the visit that they were having, among those who said that they witnessed a visit. And almost 90% of the respondents said yes, you know, that the dying person was comforted by the visit. And then we also asked, how did you, as the family member or the friend, did you find comfort from the dying person's experience? And again, the overwhelming, you know, percentage, you know, also said yes. In terms of a type of the experience, here were some of the comments. My father-in-law kept telling those kids to leave his room, that they were too noisy. The nurse told us that hours or days before a patient passed at that hospital, they often see and hear the children in that wing of the hospital. Now, that's a little bit different than what we're talking about.
Not relatives, but other people who had crossed over in that same space.
Right. Okay. You know, and, you know, maybe they are now workers helping people, you know, to cross over. So, you know, that's pretty interesting. Another one, about 3 days before my uncle passed away, I was talking to him. In the middle of our conversation, he started talking to his deceased wife, telling her how he was going to hang the curtains and what colors he was going to paint their bedroom. He referred to her by her name, you know, which happened to be Veronica. Here's another one. A patient of mine told me and his wife that there were people at the end of his bed. He told her who they were. Another one, my patient reported seeing a man beside his bed. His mother said the description matched her deceased father. The patient had never met or seen pictures of his grandfather.
Wow.
These are all comments from our, you know, from our members. My dad passed several days before mom did. Mom told me that she saw dad looking at her from the hallway and told her, come on, I've been waiting for you my whole life.
That's magnificent.
My mom assured me that she was unafraid to die. She insisted that her previously departed family members were waiting for her. While we talked, she often looked away as though she was communicating with someone else in the room. Though she smiled, she never spoke. So I assumed this was telepathic, being the communication, which indeed it was. Another person wrote, the dying person called out the deceased entity's name and extended her arm out to that spirit or entity. There's another reaching out. Another one wrote, my mother appeared to be talking to people on the other side of the veil. I couldn't understand her words, but her face was luminous. Another you know, example of the effect that it has on the experiencer, you know, that they're there, it makes them ecstatic. It makes it easier to cross and so forth. I was like, she couldn't, it made me laugh a little bit. She couldn't understand the words. Cause I think back when we were sitting with Fran's mom, who was, you know, born in Hungary, you know, and she was speaking to her loved ones in Hungarian. So, and neither of us, so Fran could catch little glimpses of it, but I couldn't at all. So I still have books of somewhere that I got to find of transliteration of everything she was saying. I have to find an interpreter one day. and then, you know, we also asked, you know, if the in that question that we asked before about did you find comfort from the dying person's experience, we got comments saying, I knew he was ready to go. He was at peace. Yes, I find that watching someone who is near death can be very spiritually uplifting. A lot of people find that somewhat incongruous, you know, like, you know, because the sadness involved with watching somebody pass. But from firsthand experience, I mean, yes, the sadness is overwhelming, but as I mentioned, that, you know, it is a sacred process. There's something about it. It's like sacred space, and it's something.
I think when the person who's witnessing, I think very likely this person who wrote this is a very spiritual person who understands this cycle and that we are, quote unquote, going home when we cross over. So yeah, it becomes a sacred thing. Whereas in the culture in which we live, and I know I mentioned this before, is we shy away from talking about death. Death is a negative thing. Death is a bad thing. So, you know, it does sound peculiar to have somebody frame it like that. But in reality, he's got the right message.
I know we felt that way when we were with Tom's mom. We both, you know, we knew it was inevitable and we knew she was going to meet up with Dad because that's what she'd been told. And she expressed that to Tom, her excitement over it. And so when it was just the three of us together and, you know, singing to her, holding her hand, stroking her hair, and really kind of looking around like, okay, you know, are we going to get a glimpse when she, you know, makes this journey? Tom, really, this was in the hospice room that we took her to on her last day. So Tom really feels like her spirit, her soul departed in her home before we transported her to the facility. But, you know, in that moment, in the room, in the hospice center, it was just beautiful. It really was just the peacefulness and feeling like, you know, we had taken a part of this magical journey with her and sort of delivering her to the other side. We both were kind of glowing over the whole thing.
And I know that this is not applicable to the general population, simply because a lot of people just are uninformed about these things. But for those of us who know about them, I think that if we're sitting with a loved one as they're about to pass, and the dying person doesn't seem to have any experience that we're talking about, like a dream visitation, I think we're a little disappointed, right? I would be a little bit disappointed, but we have to bear in mind that near death, you most of the time, you know, don't lose the ability, the cognitive ability. You know, you're not in any physical or mental shape in many times to express anything, even though these things are going on. So I personally believe that everybody has an escort to the other side. I think everybody has a deathbed vision. They may not be able to communicate that to us in the physical at that time. I know a lot of people can, but just because you're sitting with a loved one and they don't have one, don't feel cheated or disappointed. You know, just, I would say, you know, rest assured. And that raises another point. If we're still have the mental acuity when our time comes, are we going to be looking for that visit? You know, is that going to be our signal? I mean,
that's a great question.
You know, with my comments about my mom, she has been bringing up names of a lot of old friends, and she'll say to me, "Oh, these were the things I was thinking about as I laid in bed this morning," and I'm sort of thinking, "Okay, does that maybe mean you were dreaming about them, or were you, you know, seeing them?" But she's too aware and too proud to even admit something like that if I were to ask her, because all the people she's asked me about or her age or older. So I'm pretty sure they're all on the other side and their names are coming up each day. So maybe they're her friends saying, come on, Joan, we're waiting for you. It's always about a party that she's recalling. So maybe she's getting glimpses of the party.
Yeah, it could be. Well, we have a lot more to talk about, but we're going to go to a short break. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes and we'll talk about more end-of-life experiences.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio, where we're talking about end-of-life experiences. And we were reading some of your comments from a survey that we did. Here's an interesting one. The person wrote, I believe her passing after I spoke to her in a non-emotional, firm, but pleasant tone was an indication that she needed to hear that it's okay to leave. I had cared for her for many years, and she was on hospice care in a nursing home at the end. My brother wasn't present, and I gave her assurance that he will be okay as well as his children. I told her I wanted her to be in peace and comfort, and that I knew she was working so hard and tired, and that it's okay to let go. That's an interesting thing, because we've heard that a lot. I've experienced it personally. And sometimes the dying person, you know, you hear stories where they wait for somebody to arrive, or they wait for somebody to leave because they don't want that person to witness them dying. But in many cases, I know that in the case with my mom, you know, I whispered to her that, you know, we all loved her, and that, you know, it's time to spread her wings and, you know, and fly to that other place. And then that was the day before she passed, you know, or maybe it was the same day. I don't remember. But I think that there's some truth to that, and it's important.
Well, I think that there is, and I think that you get a lot of really good information from today's hospice workers, because if you recall, the hospice worker that was at the house disclosed to us that Bob's dad had continually been saying to Bob's mom that he didn't want her to leave. And finally, the hospice worker pulled him aside and basically said, you know, you're not helping the situation here. That's not what you should be saying to her. So I think hospice workers have a wonderful, they've got this hands-on experience of this cumulative data that they've all been collecting. And I think if we turn to them, for guidance when we are in a situation where we do have someone in hospice, they know all these answers. They know all of this stuff that to us, we're looking at it as a first spiritual experience. But it's been going on since the dawn of man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting comment. Tell me if it reminds you of something. I was called by hospice to be with my mother. She lay in her bed shaking and mumbling words that I could not understand. Suddenly, she sat up at a 45-degree angle saying, "Oh, oh, oh," and then she lay down and died peacefully. It was like she left her body on the bed and went home with her loved ones.
Reminds me of
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, you know, right. Well,
didn't he?
His last words were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow."
It makes sense, though.
I mean, do you remember that what also we heard about the comedian Sam Kinison, his when he was killed in a head-on collision? I think it was back in the early 90s. And it was reported that as he lay dying, he said, "I don't want to die. I don't want to die." And then he sort of paused at like he was listening to someone. And then he said, "But why?" And then after another pause, he said, "Okay, okay." And then he died. So it was almost like he was, you know, questioning someone in the great beyond and getting a pretty reasonable answer that he could agree to.
Yeah,
kind of like, okay, so where do I sign?
Yeah.
And sometimes we have these dream kind of visits. And here's one talking about her deceased, her deceased mom. "The night of her passing, I dreamed of her and my father-in-law, who I never met because he passed away when my husband was 10 years old. She looked beautiful and radiant, no wrinkles, her hair was soft and shiny. My husband's four brothers, his sister and my husband and I were there. She said, 'I'm always with you. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not there. I love you and I'm with you wherever you go.' When I woke up, I told my husband and he felt comforted. He also told his siblings and they were amazed and lifted up by it. This was 20 years ago and I still remember it and how it felt. It was absolutely real and I know she came to me in that dream." Interesting, because it just, not only did it make her feel comforted, but her husband and all of her husband's brothers, sisters. So sometimes there's a question when you get a dream like that, do I tell the person? Because you don't know how they're going to react, especially you may have family members. I mean, you have family members, I'm sure, Melissa, that don't believe in this stuff. And when something happens, like in a dream, you don't know whether to say anything or not, right?
It's true. You know, it's interesting because my mom is living over with my sister and brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law is her main caregiver. And all of this that we talk about, he just, poo-poos and sort of makes fun of it. I have to say his attitude's changing a bit, and he's asking me a few more questions than he used to ask. I'd say up until a year ago, he never wanted to have any part of any of this kind of conversation.
Yeah. And, we hear a lot. I shouldn't say we hear a lot. We do. That's a problem. You don't hear a lot about deathbed dreams. I mean, they happen constantly, but nobody seems to talk about it. But the other thing with the sudden awakening of the mental clarity, terminal lucidity, that you hear about even less. So we asked the question, did the dying person in the 2-week window before death exhibit any sudden improvement in mental clarity that could not be explained? And roughly half of the people said yes.
Ah.
50%. You would think that, because you never even hear of this stuff, that it would be 5% or 3%. But here it was 50%. But that was pretty interesting.
Have you ever heard that the body kind of knows, or the soul knows, maybe 6 month, has a 6 month prior knowledge that their death will be occurring? I mean, the 6 month period. Does that sound like something you've ever heard talked about? I think I've read it in some of the books.
I've heard a lot of, of course, reflective stories after a person passes of them having conversations or alluding to the fact that they were not going to be around, or that they were going to die on their 21st birthday and then they did, or things like that. So I wouldn't even confine it to 6 months or any kind of a time period. I think you're right that the soul knows. And I think that the physical person, mind, brain, whatever, is open to that information if they are so enlightened. If they've been down this pathway and they're open to it, then they might recognize it and share it with other people. And mm-hmm. So I'm sure that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of these stories around. It's just that because of the way the general population views this kind of a thing, people are afraid to talk about it.
Here's a little lengthy, but I'll try and read quickly. It's one of the certified mediums of Forever Family Foundation, Renee Buck, sent in this story. It was the fall of 2007, a few months after my mother had passed into spirit, when she apparently decided it was high time to visit my father, then bedridden and severely depressed, suffering a slow death on his own from emphysema. It was a difficult time for us all, learning to come to terms with the passing of the woman who was our son, the center of our family universe. But for my father, it was particularly trying, for when his beloved Elva died, his love of life passed with her. Dad's greatest fear was that Elva was lost to him forever. Unlike my mother, whose faith in God and belief in the afterlife was unshakable, Dad openly questioned whether there was such a thing as life after death. And for years, he wasn't just disbelieving of spirit communication, he was adamantly opposed to the idea of it. During the years I was developing as a medium, I would regularly call home and share with him and my mother my amazing journey and what I was learning about life on the other side. Dad's reaction was often to hang up the phone on me, leaving my mother and I to recover from the obvious click of his receiver and to continue our conversation. There was a time when my father stopped speaking to me altogether in protest of my continued exploration of spirit communication. I felt sad that this amazing new experience was going unshared with him, especially since his own mother, my paternal grandmother, Irene, was very actively communicating through other mediums to me and my family, and of course his two children, Susan and Merle, who'd been in spirit for decades, came through regularly with highly evidential messages filled with love, healing, and support for him. Why wouldn't he want to hear these messages? I wanted, maybe one day, I told myself, he would come to accept and to believe, and in doing so, to release his fears of death. When my mother was alive, I called my parents in Minnesota several times a week on my way home from work in Boston. We chat for the 45 minutes it took me to get home, covering every topic you can imagine. It was our time to be together. After Mom passed, I continued the tradition with Dad and found that in my conversations with him, he had softened his position on spirit communication. He allowed me to share with him messages from Elva received via other mediums. He didn't say too much about the messages, but he listened. He seemed more openly to the possibility that, and I sensed that he wanted to believe. What was still required for him to really believe, however, is what most people need to believe, a personal experience, and Mom knew that too. Then Renee's sister, Connie, continues, it was about 10 a.m. and I was in the kitchen when I heard Dad call out from the bedroom, Connie, Connie, come here, Connie. I ran down the hallway to see what was wrong because Dad couldn't move around very easily on his own. He was in bed, leaning up against the headboard, his eyes large and wild. Dad, what? What's wrong? Are you okay? I said, standing in the doorway to his bedroom. Mom, he sputtered. Mom was here. Oh. What? Mom? Dad, Mom's not here. She died, remember? I thought he was dreaming. No, he insisted and pointed in my direction. She was right there, just like you are. His voice shook with emotion. She came in the door and smiled at me and said, hi, honey. And then she came over to the bed and leaned down and kissed me. And I yelled because she scared me. And then she was gone. He said, still looking about the room as if he might find her back again. Oh. I smiled. So Mom made an appearance. Great. I went over and sat on the bed with Dad. I wish she'd appear to me like that, Dad, I said. He just looked at me, still deeply shaken. So what did she look like, I asked, and I could tell Dad wanted to talk about it. Well, she was wearing a blue and white striped blouse and white pants. Her hair was all fixed up and she had lipstick on it. She looked beautiful, and he smiled wistfully and his eyes became moist. That's how I see her in my dreams, Dad, I said. She's glowing from the inside out, hair and makeup just perfect. Yes, she looked perfect, he nodded, and I could feel her kiss. It scared the heck out of me, he laughed, now that the shock was wearing off. You see, Dad, spirits can visit us and communicate with us. Like Renee has been saying, Mom's telling you that she's alive and will be there for you when it's your time. There's nothing to be afraid of, Dad, I said, hoping my words would comfort. Dad shook his head slowly, trying to let it sink in. Well, maybe it was all a dream, but it sure felt real, he concluded, and lay slowly back against the pillows.
Aww, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, that is a beautiful story. And, you know, so many of these stories, like you said, I mean, it's just hundreds and thousands of them, and it's a shame that we don't hear about more of them. But I think the main thing, you know, they've done scientific research studies about these end-of-life dreams and visions. And the conclusion, besides the fact that 88% in one study, 80% of those who were took part in the research experienced at least one dream or vision, and that they all found it profoundly meaningful, but not only for the patients, but for the families. And that's the takeaway message.
Yes.
That these things are purposeful and they are meaningful, and we should all pay attention. And when you know what to look for, it makes that transition process just a little bit easier. And with that, I think it's time for Fran to take us away.
Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.